God made the world and all its wonders for man to explore. And there are countless wonders just outside your front door. Now join natural world photographer and journalist Roger W. Downs as he shares the stories of the people, places, music, and cuisines he has discovered as we explore with RWD.
Hey, welcome on into episode 14. I'm Roger W. Downs, of course, and we're going to be talking about waterfalls today of Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, and down into the upstate of South Carolina. So our guest today is going to be photographer and executive director of Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina, Kevin Adams. Now, Kevin has developed Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina in an effort to give back to the waterfalls that he fell in love with years ago. And he's going to share that story with you coming up. But more importantly, we're going to talk about safety around waterfalls, how to be a good steward of those waterfalls when you go to visit, and how you can get involved with keeping those waterfalls a pristine, majestic, and beautiful place for everyone to enjoy and the wildlife to be able to call home. But before we go any further, I just want to thank the good Lord above for the opportunity to host this podcast and to be able to get out into the forest with my son Christian and discover new places and people that bring me back to this podcast to share it with you. Plus, I would ask God to please reach out to people suffering through this horrific pandemic around the world. Be with the sick, heal them, and reach out to the folks who have lost someone or have been financially challenged. Please, Lord, help heal our world. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Now, coming up, we're going to talk with Kevin about how you can get fined or maybe even arrested for doing this one innocent act, which a lot of us wouldn't even think twice about at a waterfall in one of the national parks right outside of Asheville, North Carolina. That's next on Explore with RWD as we chat with Kevin Adams, Executive Director of Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina.
Don't go too far. Explore with RWD. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's RWD here again. And when I'm out exploring new areas, I always take my camera along with me because I'm also a nature and wildlife photographer. And you can see some of that imagery at explorewithrwd.com. But more importantly, I want you to experience it the best I can provide it to you. And that's why I usually grab video of waterfalls, forests, and any place that can help you just reconnect with nature through either your cell phone, your laptop, your tablet, or even your computer. You can find my YouTube channel at explorewithrwd.com.
Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
Thank you for continuing to hang out with Explore with RWD, and our guest today, as promised, is Kevin Adams, the Executive Director of Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina. Now, Kevin, we're going to talk about what your organization does and how people can get involved, especially if they love hiking out to waterfalls. But you got your start with your love of waterfalls by photographing them. And apparently you have a nickname because of your desire to get out there with your camera. What is that?
Well, my wife likes to call me the waterfall boy, but I get a lot of names thrown at me from other people.
I'm sure there's a really interesting story there and a lot of interesting names you've been dubbed, but let's avoid those. What do you say?
Let's not, please.
You're right. So what inspired you, though, to start photographing waterfalls? I mean, what was it that made you say, man, I've got to show people these places?
Well, that's kind of a two-part question. My mother is was my inspiration for falling in love with waterfalls and wanting to learn everything that I could about them. And this goes way back to my childhood when we would have family vacations, which weren't that often, but when we did have one, it was always to the mountains to see waterfalls because that's what my mother wanted to do. So fast forward a number of years, and I received a camera as a birthday present from my girlfriend at the time, just out of the blue. I'd not asked for a camera, not expressed any interest in photography at all. I still don't know why she gave me that camera. I know that she regretted doing it very shortly afterwards.
Yeah, I can relate. Pandora's box was opened.
Yeah. I just grabbed that thing and took off with it. And just about the first thing that I did was go to the mountains and pointed it at a waterfall. I didn't know how to photograph, but over the years, I learned more and more, and that has always been my favorite subject.
And so was it because of your mother's love of it that brought you to them, or was it something that you revisited later in life?
No, my mother instilled just a love for everything in the environment for me. So I got that from her. If I hadn't gotten that camera, I have no doubt that I would have ended up doing something with that has to do with the environment in some way or another. Maybe I would have become a painter. I don't know. Well, I know I wouldn't have become a painter, but I would have done something. The camera became, though, the ideal mechanism for getting me out there, giving me an excuse to be out there, to stay out there, to be out there when I was uncomfortable and just totally immerse myself in the environment.
I think once you go out into the forest and experience it, it's hard not to want to be there again and again and again. But you also have a book of all the waterfalls that you've captured over the years, right?
I do. North Carolina Waterfalls came out in 1994. The second edition was 2004, and the third edition, 2016.
Wow, several editions. I didn't know that. So that must include every waterfall in Western North Carolina. Or is there one you haven't seen yet, Kevin?
Oh, nobody will ever see all of them. There's no way. And over the last 10 years, certainly, but 5 years in particular, there have just been an explosion of people. We're called waterfallers, just like birders. Mm-hmm. Who just go out and chase the waterfalls. And very often, you know, if not every day, somebody's finding a new one that hasn't been new hasn't been seen by the current crop of waterfall. There's no such thing as a waterfall that no one's ever seen. But yeah, there's a lot of them out there, and I've not come close to, like I say, no one ever will. There's just too many, but I've seen a lot of them.
Ain't that the truth? Because I know I've wandered off the beaten path in the Pisgah National Forest, and I've stumbled across a waterfall from time to time, and I think, I wonder if anybody's ever seen this one, and do I get the naming rights? But for those who don't want to wander off the beaten path, or maybe not even into the forest at all, they can certainly pick up your book and enjoy the beauty of the waterfalls that you've captured over the years. So can they get your book, the third edition, I guess it is now, on Amazon?
Yes. The third edition should be available pretty much anywhere, including you can buy it directly from me from my website and get a signed edition.
Oh, wow. So what website is that?
It's my photography website. It's kadamsphoto.com.
All right. Well, now that we've done all that, because I want people to know why you love waterfalls so much, and I do too. I love photographing them, and like you said, there's birders and waterfallers, and I'm kind of both. I love birds and waterfalls, and I'm really excited when I see a bird at a waterfall.
There you go.
But let's talk a little bit now about Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina. What was the inspiration to start that? Because it is exactly as it sounds, people who are going to take care of the waterfalls.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We are all about the waterfalls and also the waterfallers. If it has to do with the best interest of the waterfall and the people who visit that waterfall, that's what we are involved with. We're not a hiking club. We don't give out directions. I mean, we'd be happy to, but that's not what we're all about. We don't have directions to the waterfalls on our website, for instance. But we do have information about the needs of the waterfalls and how waterfallers can visit safely and visit in a way that is not harmful to the environment that they go in. And as far as the inspiration for that, well, I guess you'd have to say it would go back to the first waterfall I visited back in, I don't know, for me, it would have been 1960s. But when I got that camera in the early 1980s and started traveling around to so many of the waterfalls, and seeing what was going on. Now, granted, over the last 15 years or so, I guess it's been, there's been a lot more of it. So many more people are getting out. But it's not just the numbers of people that are getting out there. There are things that we need to be aware of with waterfalls that don't have anything to do with how many people visit it. But I would see, see these things. I would see the litter. I would see the issues, not just from the people visiting, but just from corporate interests and things. And I thought, gosh, you know, it's just a shame. I need to be doing something. And last year, I just finally decided that it was time. I've been photographing them and hiking to them and for so long, and they've given me so much. And I'm not I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I don't have too many years left in this, and I'd like to spend the ones I have left giving something back.
Kevin, you and I are going to be friends, but you also said you wanted to give advice to budding waterfallers, people who are just getting out there for the very first time and exploring the waterfalls of Western North Carolina and down into the upstate and even Eastern Tennessee. So what's your advice?
Well, of course, there are just the common sense things. And there's two different sides of it. There's the safety issue. You don't jump off the waterfalls, you know, into the pools, although a lot of people do. And for heaven's sakes, if you're going to, at least get in the pool first and swim around and make sure there's no rocks or logs in the water. Don't climb on the slippery surfaces, wear good shoes and all that sort of stuff. But then there's also the ethical maybe issues that that some people might think about. Now, I don't think anybody needs to be told that you shouldn't toss litter, although a lot of people do it. But some of the things people just simply aren't aware that it does cause some harm to the environment. A prime example there's a lot of debate that goes on about this in social media, a lot of arguments, and some people, and sometimes it gets very heated, but stacking stones, making cairns in the creeks. You can go to some of the waterfalls and just see, I mean, at times it seems like hundreds of them in the creeks. And it seems to be an innocent kind of quote art in the park, I guess, kind of thing. But it has circumstances for the environment. You are altering that environment, and there are hundreds of species of invertebrates that live in that creek that are affected by that. And not to mention just the human element of it, that not everyone sees that as art. They see it as human intrusion on the wilderness experience that they were hoping to have, or at least as much as they possibly could. And then if you do it in a place like in the Smokies, well, it's illegal. They will fine you. You cannot move a rock from a stream bed in the national park. And a lot of people aren't aware of that. And another issue has to do with dogs. We're not anti-dog and never will be. But we are anti-let your dog run around off a leash. And we're anti-bring your dog into a place where it is illegal, such as in the Smokies. You cannot bring a dog except for two particular trails in the park. Dogs can have a very adverse effect on the environment, on the animals that live there, and on the plants as well. So we encourage everyone, if you're going to bring Spot, put him on a leash not to exceed 10 feet.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Typically, when I go out hiking, I just take my son and I, and he's 10. And sometimes I think he needs to be on a leash.
I was fixing to say, do you put him on a leash?
I think I need to put him on a leash.
10-year-old, yeah, they may need one.
But when it does come down to dogs, I have seen people who have let their dogs jump off the leash. And you don't think anything about it if you're a dog lover. And there's nothing wrong with allowing your dog to run around your backyard or maybe a dog park if it's fenced in and it's appropriate. But when they're out in the forest, they do tear up a lot of the foliage and also the forest because they take off the trail a lot.
There are a number of things. They can disturb birds sitting on the nest. They can, the smaller critters like the chipmunks and the squirrels and stuff can be scared to go into the den and maybe not come out for hours or if even the rest of the day. And there's the issue of affecting other people. A lot of people are scared of the dogs, and a lot of the dogs that people take out, there's reason to be scared of them. But again, we're not anti-dog. We want everybody to enjoy the outdoors, and we would just like to see, if you're going to bring Spot, put him on a leash.
Right, exactly. And I think that's fair because I've seen some breeds out there on the trail that people let run loose. And I'm kind of like, am I going to have a problem with your dog?
Yeah.
Or not. And when a dog runs up to you, you never really know what the reaction is going to be. And there are people out there who are afraid of dogs. And you need to be, I would believe, at least in my opinion, you need to be cognizant of that and also respectful of that.
Exactly.
So when it comes down to the waterfalls, though, and are there some things we should tell families that take their kids out to the waterfalls? Like you said, don't disturb the rocks. But there's a lot of really cool, like little pools and so forth that you can play in. I mean, does that start to upset the ecosystem if you let your kids go swimming?
No. If you get down into that kind of level, then nobody would ever go to a waterfall. And that is certainly not what we're after. We want people to visit and enjoy as many of them as they can, for sure. It's just be aware when you're there. I like to wade in the pools and stuff, but when you are walking in the stream beds, try to disturb the rocks as little as possible. And if you see critters like, for instance, kids and adults like me too, love to turn over rocks and hunt for salamanders. And so if you pick up a salamander, if you find one and pick it up, make sure you wet your hand first, because the salamander breathes, it needs a moist skin to breathe. So if you pick it up with the dry skin, then you could suffocate it. So wet your hand, pick it up. Don't squeeze it. Just let it stay there in your hand and let it go in the same place. And very, very carefully remove the rock or put the rock back where you found it. Don't leave the rock off of the place where you turned it over. So just little things like that. Be aware and cognizant at all times when you're out. And the safety issue, as far as particularly the young ones, people need to be careful. Their parents really need to be careful, because in a waterfall environment, is not like a pool or like a swimming pool or maybe even the beach for that matter. You could turn your head and just 5 seconds of not watching your child, something really, really bad could happen. I mean, they're wading around in the pool and all of a sudden there's a steep drop off that they didn't know was there. Or they get startled because a fish will come up and bite them on the leg. And that happens. It happens a lot. And so then they start flailing around, they fall over and hit their head on a rock. So keep an eye on the little ones.
Yeah. And don't climb on the waterfalls. I think we've already discuss that, but let me just stress that waterfalls.
You kind of like to think that things like that would just fall into the common sense category. Based on all the litter that we see and the accidents that happen, now some of the all the accidents are tragic, of course, but some of them are the result of people just being careless when they're at the waterfalls and climbing on them or getting too close to the top edge. And believe it or not, a lot of the accidents come from taking selfies. You're concentrating on getting that perfect selfie and that perfect pose for it. You're not paying attention to your feet. And the next thing you know, you're going over the waterfall.
Yeah. And also swimming right at the top of the waterfall, not a good idea.
And that's the one, I'm glad you brought that up, Roger, because that's one that a lot of people might not think about, not realize just how strong those currents are. Even a few inches of water can have more current than you realize. And if you slip, and the rocks are usually slippery, and fall in, well, there's a period of time there of a few seconds where you're completely out of control. Because just the whole, oh my God, I fell, and that few seconds could be enough for that current to take you over before you can regain control and prevent it.
Right. And that reminds me, last summer I was up by the bridge just over High Falls. You know where that's at?
Yes, yes.
And I was there with this older couple, and there was this other individual who was literally standing in the little river right above High Falls trying to look over.
Oh, Lord.
And that's when this older gentleman said to his lady friend, "Look, honey, a moron." Now, thank God he didn't fall over. But I was thinking, for crying out loud, man, get away from the edge of the waterfall.
Yeah. I saw at Window Falls in Hanging Rock State Park, I was at the base of the falls and watched a father who was also at the base, guiding his daughter, young daughter, to walk out to the top, right at the edge, so that he could get a picture of her standing at the top of that waterfall.
Wow.
And I was just there with my mouth open and just waiting and hoping that I wasn't going to have to rush up there and help her after she fell. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. His own daughter, and, you know, come on, get closer. He was literally trying to get her to get closer to the edge.
And that is so dangerous. And I don't think people understand that. I see a lot of folks come in from out of state, and I'm so glad they do. I'm glad they're coming in. But if you're listening to this podcast, you're planning on visiting Western North Carolina or any place with waterfalls, even let's say Yosemite, don't play on the waterfalls. I mean, go see them, play in the pools below. That's fine. But man, when people start climbing up there, you think that, oh, I'm only up 20 feet. Well, 20 feet, you can break your neck. You know,
2 feet, you can break your neck.
Or, yeah.
If you fall wrong.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And those waterfalls are slick. And with the title waterfall in it, you know, there's going to be a fall included.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's not, I see so many people from out of state. Some of the locals still climb around on the waterfalls, but most of the time it's somebody from out of state who's trying to show off to a girl, or like you said, a dad who's like, no, honey, come on out a little further. Let me get this photo. Selfies, like you said, aren't really worth the risk.
No, they are not.
Like when I take my 10-year-old son, Christian, out, we'll go out to a waterfall, and usually we stand right at the base of the falls and where the pool is at, and I'll make sure that he and I are in the photo, and I'll take a selfie from a low pool with a very low current as the falls are behind us. And I think we're pretty safe right there.
The key to taking a selfie in a safe manner is that you should never, ever move your feet without lowering the phone down first. That's how people get hurt. They're holding that phone up and they're looking at the image on that phone as they move their feet. Well, they can't see where they're stepping. If you just drop that phone and look down before you move, then pull the phone back up to take the picture, you'll be okay. And that goes for not just the tourists that are visiting the waterfalls, but the photographers like me and everyone else. And I like to stress, waterfall keepers in North Carolina, we're not the waterfall police. We don't want anything to do with that kind of designation. We have to watch these things that we're talking about. We have to remind ourselves of these things. We just want to make people aware of the situations out there, and we hope everyone chooses the safe thing to do and the best thing to do that's for the waterfalls.
Exactly. Because waterfalls can be an enjoyable experience for everyone, but for everyone to enjoy them, we have to take care of them and the wildlife that surrounds them. Again, our guest is Kevin Adams, Executive Director of Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina. We're going to chat with him more coming up next.
Explore with RWD. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, RWD here with you, and I want to thank you for listening in with the Explore with RWD podcast, where we explore new areas, find out the history behind them, and also share the imagery. But that's a little hard when you're listening, right? So you can see a lot of the imagery that we capture while we're out exploring different areas, including videos as well, by following us on your favorite social media, which includes Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Just find us at Explore with RWD. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. Again, that's at Explore with RWD.
That wasn't too bad, now was it? Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
Again, just want to thank you for listening in with Explore with RWD. Check us out online as well at explorewithrwd.com for future podcasts, blogs, photos, and even videos. And our guest today is Kevin Adams, Executive Director of Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina. Now, Kevin, we've been talking about safety around waterfalls, but waterfall keepers also perform a lot of outreach projects. Can people get involved with those?
Oh, absolutely. And we just launched on November 23rd. We already have over 130 waterfalls that have been adopted through our Adopt a Waterfall program. So anyone can choose a waterfall and adopt it. And that means that they've agreed to visit that waterfall at least four times a year, hopefully once a quarter, and clean it up, pick up any trash that they see along the way, and also report back to us on the trail conditions, anything that may need to be done. And so we use that information, the reports, to coordinate with other groups, other organizations that are maybe doing work on the trails. And we are also forming our own trail crews, and hopefully in the not too far distance future, we'll be out there taking care of some of these issues that are reported back to us. We're kind of overwhelmed at the response to that now. So we've got well over 100 people who have adopted waterfalls in just a few weeks.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and they're getting out there every day. We're getting reports coming in every day and great comments. People are so excited. They're getting their kids involved. And it's instill anything in anyone. All of these people already love waterfalls. They already wanted them to be protected. They already hated seeing the litter on the trail. But what we did was with waterfall keepers, it gives them a structure and a formality to do something. They're like, well, yeah, okay, I can do that. That's a good thing. This waterfall's not too far from me. I can visit that waterfall every quarter and pick up the trash. Whereas if it wasn't a structured thing, they might not do it on their own. So, and we're hearing that from a lot of people. They're really loving that we have this where everybody can get involved. We can all work together.
That is such a great idea, Kevin. And honestly, I'll jump right on board and adopt a waterfall as well.
Well, I'm going to hold you to that. And I'll tell you what else I'd like for you to do too, if you would, Roger. On March 20th, we have our first annual waterfall sweep. And that's where we're going to encourage people all over the state to visit a waterfall. They can go to whatever waterfall they want to, but just go on that day and pick up trash. And we're going to have crews at select sites in Western North Carolina to clean up areas that really need it. That, you know, some areas that have been used more as garbage dumps at waterfalls or mm-hmm. that have accumulated quite a bit of trash, where we're going to need some manpower and woman power to get that cleaned up. So we're looking for people to join us on those crews. And as I say, anybody, anywhere, we just encourage you on that day, just go out and pick up trash. Take some pictures and send them to us.
And make sure you pick up the trash when you see it and take it out, even if it isn't yours. I've always done that. And I know it's difficult because you take your kids out there and they drop a water bottle in the forest. You don't think twice about it, or they don't at least. I mean, I have a hard time getting my 10-year-old to take a cup back to the kitchen from the living room. So I understand that, but we still need to be cognizant of that and want to make sure we keep it cleaned up, because if we don't, if everybody's 10-year-old kid goes out there and leaves a water bottle behind, then right. You've got a big mess.
And being cognizant, that's kind of the key to our waterfall sweep. Of course, the real underlying goal is just clean it up, but by having a day set aside where we're calling it the waterfall sweep and encouraging people to go out on that day, we're giving publicity to the cleanup, to the advantages and how it's necessary that we do this, as opposed to just saying, well, we hope everyone when you go out will pick up the trash. So we'll have this waterfall sweep, and we're going to put that out there everywhere. So people will be seeing it. They'll become more aware of the situation, and that will help them as they go along, everyone to remember. Yeah. Okay. I need to bring a trash bag with me when I go out on this hike.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Kevin. So if someone wanted to get involved a little bit more, maybe make donations, or if they wanted to, become a full-time member with Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina, is there a way for them to do that as well?
Absolutely. And there is so much more that we are about and that people can get involved in. Just visit our website, waterfallkeepersofnc.org, and just spend some time looking it all over and see what we're all about. And we would love to hear from you.
Perfect. Well, again, I appreciate your time, Kevin. And also make sure to go pick up his books, Waterfalls of North Carolina, 3 editions. You can probably find the 3rd edition, you said, on Amazon.com. Are the other ones still available? I know you said you can do signed ones too, right?
Well, the first 2 editions are no longer available, so okay. It would be the 3rd editions. And it's actually North Carolina Waterfalls is the official title.
Okay.
And yes, you can get it at Amazon bookstores, or you could order it directly from my website.
So edition 1 and 2 are collector's items then?
Well, no, I wouldn't exactly say that.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. I just had to say it after I botched the name of the book. But please help support Kevin and his waterfall photography. I've been to your website too, and man, amazing stuff, Kevin. Coming from a fellow photographer, I was like, wow, that is such a great shot.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I can tell that you've certainly been dedicated to it for years, and I am sure that your former girlfriend is probably like, yeah, that was all me.
Well, actually, we can call her my ex-wife.
Oh!
And I think that you might assume that the camera had a little bit to do with the ex part of that.
Oh, yeah, because you and I are both photographers, and this is the thing. When you give someone a camera for the first time, you have – it's almost like starting an addiction for someone, because you get your first camera, and you're like, ooh, I could get this lens, I could get that lens, and I could do this, and I could go here and photograph that. Oh, I could get this, and wait, there's another camera. And suddenly you're like 4 or 5 cameras deep. I don't know how many lenses, and you're like, wait a second, I have to pay rent?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works. But honestly, again, thank you so much for your time, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's great. It's been great.
Explore with RWD. We'll be right back after this.
Natural world photographer Benjamin Wall.
When I was in Alaska at one stage taking photographs of the grizzly bears on the Alaskan Peninsula, there was a bear that came out of the weeds, these really high grass actually, just beside of me, and he was roaring and running right at me.
Be inspired by this story and others from Benjamin Walls in Episode 7 of Explore with RWD.
Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
Hey, I want to thank you again for continuing to hang out with the Explore with RWD podcast. Again, I'm Roger W. Downs, your host. And I want to thank Kevin Adams, the Executive Director of Waterfall Keepers of North Carolina, and an amazing photographer, again, for his time earlier today. You can check out his website, kadamsphoto.com, to see some of his images. And please get involved on March 20th with a waterfall cleanup right here in Western North Carolina, or adopt a waterfall and go out and see it every quarter and just clean up the trash. I'm going to do that myself. Oh yeah, before I forget, if you missed out on some of the information Kevin and I discussed, or you would like to visit one of the websites that we shared, don't worry, I'm going to list it all in the description of this podcast. And thank you again for taking the time to listen. And if this is your first time on this podcast, please, if you liked it, subscribe to it on whatever platform you're listening on, or check us out at our website, explorewithrwd.com. And finally, if no one else has told you this yet today, I love you, and I know the good Lord above loves you. He has promised you that. So make sure to count your blessings, because life truly is good. And remember, no matter what you've done, God can separate you from your sin like the east is from the west. All you need to do is drop to your knees and ask him for forgiveness and devote your life to him to be a continued servant of what he's asked of you. It saved my life, no doubt. That's my testimony. We'll have to discuss that some other time in another podcast. But until next time, peace, love, and coon dogs, y'all.
Thank you for listening. Visit us online at explorewithrwd.com to discover more about Roger, his photography, podcast, and adventures. Or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Explore with RWD. Remember, we didn't inherit the earth from our parents. We borrow it from our children. May God bless you and yours. Now get outside and go explore. Explore with RWD is produced by Downs Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.